Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Michelle Knezovic, Junie Riddle. If you were listening last segment, the answer to the trivia question is Kevin Love. He is the nephew of Mike Love from the Beach Boys. So congratulations, Nick, who was our winner on those Beach Boys tickets. But like we do every Monday at 10:30, we go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Jonathan Hutton from Hot Make. Jonathan, how are we doing this morning?
Michelle, I'm great. Did you go to Taylor Swift this weekend?
Okay, that's a really sore subject.
Oh, you just had to go there, really? Didn't you?
I didn't get tickets.
Junie was able to go, and you did not get to go?
Listen, I didn't get tickets, and I'm having major FOMO, and I can't go on my phone because it's everywhere. I couldn't even open my door to my apartment because I could hear it. So I'm trying to make the drive to Cincinnati in a couple weeks. But yeah, no,
there's always
didn't.
A show.
Did you? I'm sure you did.
No, I didn't go. I did not go. I did not brave the swarm of Swifties that overtook Nashville. I preferred to stay indoors during this past weekend, Michelle.
Yeah, it really was insane, to be honest. Hope everybody had fun, though, who did end up getting to go. But Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike on with us. Jonathan, you know, when you take a look at this Tennessee team and the moves that Rand Carthon, Mike Vrabel have made either in the draft, just in the offseason, in free agency, do you believe that they're sending a message to fans that, you know, this is the start of the rebuild and that they're gearing up for 2024?
Yeah, I mean, look, I straightforward, Michelle, I think they're gearing up for the opening of their stadium. Mm. They peaked a couple of years ago. The 2020 season was the year to win it. That's the year that they had the 2,000-yard rusher. That's the year that they had a quarterback that threw for 4,000 yards. They nearly had two different receivers go for 1,000 yards each, and A.J. Brown and Corey Davis. Jonnu Smith was making great – coming off of a postseason where he came to life and had a solid season the following year. That was the year that they peaked, and since then they've been chasing that season to get back to the postseason and go on a run. And to me, while these moves don't point to – man – we're really selling hope and we're all in it for 2023. I think down the line, if you start to look at when the stadium opens, when Will Levis, as of right now, he's not the starter, but when he is, that'll be the second contract for him. And you don't draft him unless you believe in the guy. Mm-hmm. And beyond that, they've drafted depth. And Amy Adams Strunk, when she fired John Robinson, said the depth was just not good enough. And this is an older Titans roster. They cut the fat of some of the contracts this past offseason with guys like Bud Dupree and others. And they're keeping Tannehill and Henry, but we all know that's for a season. And they're looking ahead to the talent behind those guys. They ran it back for the second consecutive year with a backup quarterback and a backup running back on day two. And I can't help but think that they're building for the future while also trying to sell the fact that, oh, by the way, Tannehill and Henry are back with Treylon Burks, and we were 7-3 at one point, 7-5 when we fired our general manager, and now it's a collaborative effort between head coach and new GM.
Yeah, a lot of messages being sent out there, Jonathan. So I don't know if you saw this article. It was written by Nick Suss of The Tennessean, but essentially he interviewed Malik Willis's personal quarterback coach. And
yeah,
he had some interesting comments just based on Malik's performance last year, how he believed that they wanted him to be more like more like Logan Woodside in being more accurate and not trying to make as much plays as he was with his legs. I mean, how do you view him going into this season? A guy who he's still trying to earn a spot on an NFL roster, but based off the moves that this team has made, I mean, and even last year the moves with Josh Dobbs, I mean, it's pretty clear that they don't have a lot of faith in him.
That's right. I mean, they could not run their offense with him, regardless of the injuries that they had. And the stats, just the numbers alone tell you that they couldn't stay balanced in Todd Downing's offense with Malik Willis at quarterback. He's completing 6 passes at Houston last year. He attempted 16 in that game. Josh Dobbs comes in as the starter on, 3 or 4 days after being signed, and he's attempting 25 to 28 passes. So it's not like defensive coordinators could just say, oh, it's a run. Now, there were a lot of runs with Josh Dobbs, and there he's handing off to Henry, but it was nowhere close to where Malik Willis was dropping back and taking off. And look, I think what was said by the the quarterback coach for Willis is fair. I thought he was very honest, which is what you're looking for in an interview like that. And he said, hey, you know, the plant feet, the back foot on the plant, he's late on a throw, throws a pick. Those are things that can't happen in the NFL. And Malik Willis was learning on the job, and he was doing it from day one, where it was evident he was not ready to play. He was not ready to be a backup quarterback. But they invested a third-round pick in him, trying to upgrade and do exactly what they're doing right now with Will Levis. And from the first training camp practice, where, I mean, it's very difficult to sack the quarterback in practice in the NFL. And he's standing back there when he's told to throw it, not pulling the trigger. And he's either doing one read and taking off running in a OTA where they're begging you to throw it and they're telling the defense not to come through and injure anyone by trying to break up a pass. I mean, it should be layup after layup in these practices, and it wasn't for him. And he's behind the eight ball. And I understand where you're coming from on he's trying to make an NFL roster. I think at this point he's a practice squad player, and that's probably where he should have been last year, albeit at the time they probably felt like he was going to get picked up in waivers in September if they cut him.
We're talking to Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow that you can hear on 94.9 The Fan Monday through Friday, 2 to 5. Hutton, we've been asking Titans fans what they should feel optimistic about going into the season. And some things that I've been hearing consistently on this is they have a really, really good defense and that the defense is going to carry them to some wins. I feel like there is a bunch of questions on this defense with, you know, Harold Landry coming back, losing David Long Jr. What are your thoughts on the optimism going into the season and the level of play that this team could see from the defense?
It's a great question, Junie, because this is the team, in my mind, they've never said this and won't. I felt like the philosophy was they need to be great on defense and good on offense. And they will make the stop when necessary, and that's what got them to 7 wins after the Washington game with the David Long interception. But to me, with the guys that they've lost off the defense from last year, production-wise, it's not going to be hard to replace. And it just the numbers speak for themselves. I realize they've replaced Bud Dupree with a pass rusher that no one's heard of for the most part, or, you know, speed off the edge, and you're thinking, well, backup from San Francisco. But I look at it different. I look at it as if Arden Key comes in and gives you 4 sacks, he's giving you what Bud Dupree was giving you for $10 million plus per season, and it was more than that. So I don't know if this is a great defense, but on paper with their starting lineup before injuries are starting to accrue, this is a really good defense week in, week out that did a really great job of keeping them in games. They need the offense to complement them, and right now the wide receiving core is going to hold them back. But pass rush-wise, I think they're fine. Harold Landry, I get where you're coming from on coming off the ACL, but he's had plenty of time to recover. Jeffrey Simmons is paid. He's happy. Denico Autry is back. He's always productive when he's on the field. And Vrabel specifically mentioned Tyr Tart on the inside as someone that doesn't need to just rest and getting fat and happy on getting an extension to stay with the team. He needs to continue to improve instead of being comfortable with the improvement that he's already made since he entered the league. I think he's key to what they do. But for the production, they went cheaper. But just because they went cheaper on the payroll doesn't mean that they are getting less production. The guys that were overpaid were not producing, and that's why they were kicked to the curb.
Now, Peter King is one of the most connected members of the media when it comes to, you know, NFL teams and getting scoops. And he did an article on offseason power rankings and where he thinks teams have lined up when it comes to the offseason. And he has Tennessee at 18. And he says, feels like the Titans are a slow start away from Will Levis playing by November 1st, selling Derrick Henry by the trade line and building for 2024. So with that being said, do you see the Titans potentially moving off one of these older veterans either before the season or during the season when it comes to a Derrick Henry, Kevin Byard, or maybe even a Ryan Tannehill?
Depends on where their record is. If they start winning with Will Levis, look, the second season I was a part of Titans Radio was Vince Young's rookie year. He didn't start that year, but when he did, it's not like they were a very good team. Whenever he was inserted in the starting lineup, though, they ended up 8-8, and he was the offensive rookie of the year. There was momentum with that, despite being a very average football team by the end of the season. They switched quarterbacks. There was a spark. You progressed. They're in a division that's not as tough as the other AFC divisions with the AFC South. But 18th is pushed. They're pushed down in large part due to their conference. If you're going to make the trade, it's either at the deadline because you can sell high at that point and get a pick in return because the team is desperate. But keep in mind with like Derrick Henry, there are only a handful of teams that would bring Derrick Henry on at this time compared to at the trade deadline. What I mean is right now, offensively, if you have Derrick Henry on your roster, you are a run first base offense. He's a volume back. By the time the trade deadline comes and goes, the majority of this year's money that's headed his way in guarantees is paid for. And so the team's only picking up a portion of that contract to finish the season, and it would be to a playoff contender. So the trade deadline makes sense from that aspect. And you want to get something for an asset if you know he's not going to be a part of the 2024 season if your team sucks. You want to load up on draft picks, and the time to do it would be at the deadline, not after the season when he's a free agent. That makes total sense. And I can see a scenario where we see Will Levis inserted into the lineup for one of two reasons. Either Tannehill takes the beating like he did last year and he's forced to miss games, or they say, hey, it's time to turn things over to the rookie. Let's start the clock. He's on a four-year contract, not a fifth-year option guy because we didn't draft him in the first round. We need to go ahead and progress towards the future because where we are record-wise. There are a lot of factors that go into that, but that's certainly got to be one of the scenarios that we discuss.
Jonathan, quickly before you leave, switching over to the SEC, the Alabama baseball coach being fired after some reports that he had some involvement in a big gambling situation. How do you view this situation, and how do you think, you know, when we find more, because we still don't know a lot regarding this situation, but how do you think that this could, you know, impact college athletics as a whole? I mean, gambling has become so easy. It's just the touch of your phone, you can place a bet now.
Look, I mean, this is just the tip of the iceberg with what has been going on. And I am skeptical to just sit here and say the Alabama baseball coach was the only coach in college athletics that's doing this, or in sports in general. But keep this in mind. It took the NBA 2 years to figure out what Tim Donaghy was doing behind the scenes with the bookies and helping out behind the scenes as an NBA ref in fixing games and outcomes, because he did it on the down low. He had a burner phone if he used one. And that's the difference here is the idiot head coach used his cell phone number. Link it straight back to the former high school coach who's at Great American Ballpark. A coincidence, but a crazy connection that he's in Cincinnati, home of Pete Rose and the Cincinnati Reds, and this all goes down. And it's flagged because it's college baseball. Normally on the app, Michelle, you can make up to a $500 bet only. They cap it for college baseball. But if you go up to a sports book counter, you can bet cash and you can bet more. And that's what flagged this. So considering that they normally cap it with college baseball, and it was a red flag because of the size of the bet and how they placed these bets at the timing that they did. The fact that you can't cap, and there's so many more people betting on college football or the NFL or any sport compared to college baseball. Yeah, it goes on. But, I mean, you have to be you got to lack some smarts to do what Bohannon did, which was use his phone and track it back to the guy and know that, hey, you can only bet the actual money line in college baseball, and a ton of it came on LSU minus 225. Which isn't going to get you much if you're betting $10. Mm-hmm. But if you bet a significant amount, you're going to win something that normally that sports book isn't used to paying out.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I agree. I think it's just the tip of the iceberg. Between that, the NFL players who got suspended recently, and then obviously Calvin Ridley a year ago. Jonathan, always a pleasure on Monday morning. Hope you have a great rest of your day, and you can listen to him later this afternoon with Chad Withrow.
Yeah, appreciate you guys. Have a great week.
Yep, Jonathan.
Have a good one, Hutt.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike joins us every Monday at 10:30. Going to recap some of the stuff he said. And then speaking of betting, Junie and I are going to give you some of our picks for tonight's games coming up next on Chase Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.